Welcome to the Mavs Fans for Life podcast. I am your host, Landon Thomas. I am joined by Ian Kayanja and Shahnavaz Makhani. Today, we will be talking about Luka Doncic, like always. I mean, he's playing that good. He just won the player of the month and player of the week. I mean, shoot, he could be the player of the year if you think about it. Then we'll be talking about Christian Wood extension. Everybody is talking about it. Everybody is talking about it. The way he's played on the defensive end. We already know what he can do on the offensive end, but he's available for extension. What should that extension be? And then we'll finish it off with, what is your Mavs New Year's resolution? What do you want to see from this team in 2023? Now that we are in a new year, happy new year, everyone. And just before we start, just want to give prayers and our thoughts to Damar Hamlin. Everyone knows what happened, and he's still in critical condition. We haven't heard an update yet, but definitely our prayers go out to his family, loved ones, everyone around him at this moment. Ian, Shahnavaz, do y'all want to give any words to the situation going on right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were texting during the game. I know all of us, and you know, I watched that game live, and it's hard to, it's, you know, 5 minutes left in the first quarter and something like that happens. It's really hard to see, and you know, it's all you can say is prayers for Damar Hamlin, for his family, for the Bills, and you know, the NFL. You know, you heard Ryan Clark talk about it. You heard a lot of, you know, old football players and analysts talk about it. I mean, that's a, you know, sports is a brotherhood, and you know, they're all looking out for each other. And all we can do is hope and pray that he's okay. So prayers up, like you said, Landon, for Damar Hamlin, for his family, and hopefully a speedy recovery.
Yeah, I'd second that. It's been an interesting year for the NFL between Tua's injury and things like this. It always reminds me just how brutal of a sport football is. And I do think that in some degree they're going to have to change something. Football's a brutal game, and I think the NFL's going to have to change some things. And it won't necessarily water down the product. That's a misconception by a lot of fans that are just afraid of something being different. But I do think that as we learn more and as science progresses, we just know for a fact that repeatedly running into each other for 4 hours once a week, and that's not allotting practice times, just isn't a smart game to play. And so I'm a firm believer that 10 years from now, the NFL looks different than what it is right now. And that's going to be because of social pressure. And parents aren't going to be putting their kids in a game that you can die on national TV. And that's just the nature of it. And so prayers out for his family. And you hate to have that happen to somebody. It's very heartbreaking.
It is indeed. Okay, so let's get into a little bit of some Mavs. We're starting off with Luka Doncic. He has won the player of the week, and it seems like that was only a couple seconds of joy because he has won the player of the month of December. He averaged 35 points, 35.1, shooting over 51%. I'm shooting over 42% from three, which is very good. 8.5 rebounds, 9.3 assists per game, 1.6 steals. He will remind you every post game how many steals he had. And he played 15 games in the month of December. The Mavs played 17 overall, but in the games that Luka played, the Mavs went 11-4. And we know, we talked about it last week, the run that he is on. What else is there to say? We talk about it every week. Ian, I'll start with you. What's your thoughts on the tear that Luka is on right now, and where does he rank in your top five MVP candidates?
So the tear that Luka's on, I mean, it's historic, but To be fair, we are seeing historic tears from dang near every star in the league, it seems like. So though, you know, though we're seeing Luka do some amazing things, to me it feels like a repackaging and refurbishing of the 1960s where you had Wilt dropping 70 casually in a game, averaging like 54 a season. I think there's a bit of stat inflation going on in the NBA right now. And for all the talk about defenses being so complex, basketball is a game of numbers, man. You get up a certain number of threes, you get to the rim a certain amount of times, and the probability of winning is in your favor. And those numbers drive everything. I don't think defenses are as tough as they used to be. So Luka's run is impressive. But when you put it in the context of the history of the game, I mean, there's more possessions in this era. The defense is weaker. And, you know, it's an impressive run, but I think he's doing it in a stat-inflated NBA. So take that for whatever it's worth. Now, as for where he ranks in my MVP ladder, I currently have Luka third on my MVP ladder. And, you know, that's not a slight against him. The Bucks have been faltering, okay? I know they haven't been as impressive as they were to start the year. But I got to go with Giannis, man. He's been doing it without his Robin. You know, he hasn't had Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday's been in and out. And the Bucks are still a formidable opponent, and Giannis is still doing Giannis things. We've just kind of been desensitized to it. So I got to put Giannis one. And then the number two guy I have is Kevin Durant. I mean, the way the Nets are rolling right now, and Kevin Durant is averaging a smooth 29 on dang near 60% field goal shooting. And no one's talking about it because that's just KD. Like, KD's just sleepwalking to crazy efficiency, like 56% from the field, nearly 37% from the three-point line. Nets are just rolling off wins. And then I have Embiid 4 and Tatum 5. So if the NBA stopped today, that would be my top five in the MVP category race. And so, yeah, that's my list, and we'll see what Sean Navaz has to say. He's looking primed.
Sean Navaz, what you got? What you got for us?
Oh boy,
what's your top? Well, okay. So first, the run that Luka is on right now. He just won Player of the Month. What's your thoughts on how he's been playing? And then where do you rank him in the MVP race?
Yeah, I'm not gonna give a history lesson like my dear friend Ian did and go back into, you know, what offenses are and aren't and deep, you know, all that. Let's just enjoy it, man. It's been fun. I mean,
how can you enjoy numbers you don't contextualize? You have to contextualize.
It's fun to watch, man. It's fun to watch. It's amazing that we get to see a 23-year-old kid do this. And the look. In all honesty, it's amazing to see. It's also somewhat troubling because it's doing it against opponents that the Mavericks should handle. He's having to have Herculean efforts, and we've seen it a few times against the Rockets in the last week. You know, we saw it against the Spurs when the Mavericks were up, 15-16, and had to win it on a Trey Jones missed free throw at the end of the game. I mean, you know, these are games that the Mavericks should be putting away. And I think it speaks to, you know, the struggles of this roster and Luka having to do everything. You saw, I think everybody saw how tired he was, you know, against the Rockets. And it was, you know, he really had to turn it on in the second half. And I think the most impressive thing that, you know, about Luka Doncic and really when you talk about in the context of what he's been doing is you take a game like last night in the first half. He was 3-12 from the field with 10 points. I think it was 0-7 from three at that point. And you could just tell he was exhausted. He couldn't get his legs under him. In the second half, I think there was about 3.5 minutes left. He had 27 points on 7-13 shooting, 12 points in the paint, and 12-14 from the free throw line. So he's really done a great job over the last year kind of understanding when his shot's not falling, when the shots that he normally likes to take aren't falling, and really revamping his game, knowing that he can outduel anybody. And so if he's going to miss from the 3-point line, he'll take it in the paint and just shoot everything at the rim, and he'll get the foul calls, and you know, he'll make some crazy layups, and he'll be able to kick it back out. And we saw huge shots from Wood and Dinwiddie, you know, against the Rockets as well. But man, it's just fun to watch. It's so much fun being a Mavericks fan at, you know, at this point. And it's stressful, but it's fun to watch a kid that, you know, we know that, you know, is the star of our team and the star of the league, and watching him do this night in and night out is a blessing. Oh, and so if we're going to go with our MVP, this is, again, Landon, you put us on the spot here, but I have Luka Doncic second right now in my MVP voting. If I had to pick, I would have him second. I am actually going to agree with Ian and say Kevin Durant is one. I think what the Nets are doing is nobody is talking about it. Nobody is realizing it. Kevin Durant's efficiency that his efficiency is the best of his career this year. I mean, 60% shooting from the field, and he's always been a great shooter, but he's taking better shots. He's not shooting as many threes. The Nets have just taken the league by storm the last 10 games, 10-0, and climbed up the rankings. Nobody thought this team, with all the turmoil they went through in the offseason, nobody thought this team would sniff a playoff berth. And even if they did, it'd be a play-in spot. The fact that they're second in the Eastern Conference right now is unbelievable. So I would have Kevin Durant 1. I'd have Luka Doncic 3. I think you have to put Nikola Jokic 3rd. I think, again, the season he's having and without Michael Porter Jr. and, you know, in and out games for Jamal Murray, we've seen Jokic, you know, really carry the Nuggets to the best record in the Western Conference right now. And then I'd have to go Jason Tatum and Giannis. So, my ballot would be Kevin Durant 1, Luka Doncic 2, Jokic 3, Tatum 4, and Giannis 5.
Okay, Shanavaz. Ian, what's your thoughts on Shanavaz's top five MVP race right now?
You know, for once, I don't think Shanavaz is crazy. And
2023, baby, 2023.
Y'all were all peachy last
all
week.
All about the new year.
Yeah,
Look, he had Giannis a bit too low, but I think it's crazy what happens with greatness. Like, we just get fatigued with it. You saw, like, when people were talking about how Jokic's MVP race, he could win a third straight, and that, oh, nobody wants to vote for him for a third year in a row. And it's it. But if he's the MVP, he's the MVP. That's who the award should go to. It's kind of like I don't know if y'all watch soccer, but like the Ballon d'Or, people were like, oh my gosh, it can't be Messi and Ronaldo again, or Ronaldo again. And it's like, if these two are the best players in the world, it should go to one of those two. And we do the same thing in the NBA. It's like, oh, we don't want to see that story anymore. Like, Giannis wins his two MVPs and just can't be considered for another one, like realistically anymore.
And it's the same in the NFL too, Ian, right? It's like, well, Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. Well, let's give it to him. Well, can't give him another MVP, right? So let's give it to Jalen Hurts. Or let's see what happens when Jalen Hurts is out injured. The Eagles can't win a game. Or, you know, it's all you make up these excuses.
Always but throwing in
it
Eagles.
It should go to Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's it.
The slight Eagles diss from Sean Navaz, man.
Hey, man, not my fault they lost to the Saints.
All right, so let me give y'all my top five, man.
Boo.
Let me jump in here and give y'all my top five. Okay, so number one, I'm gonna go with Jokic. The boy is the MVP right now. He's balling. And I mean, where they're at, honestly, they're the best team in the league. I mean, they're neck and neck with the Nets right now for the hottest team right now. I mean, they're still at the top of the league. But I'm going to have to go with Jokic, number one. And what he's doing, he's almost averaging a triple-double. I mean, he's darn near close. If he just get a couple more assists, I mean, in a couple of games than he usually does. And then number two, I'm going to go with Luka. I'm going to go with Luka. I mean, it's the same thing as last season. These two international superstars are the most valuable in this league. It's every single season. They are the most valuable. What they have on their roster, what they produce on the court is incredible. It's something that's rarely seen, and it's something that is special to watch. And what Luka's doing right now, I mean, if he does this in January, he's even if he does this for a couple more weeks, he's number one. He's the front runner because the Mavs will keep winning. That's the thing. I think if the Mavs have a top four seed, and this was my prediction, y'all can go back and listen to it. If the Mavs have a top four seed, which I said they will be the fourth seed, Luka will be the MVP of the league. It's lining up to be that way. Obviously, they were playing horrible teams. Let's just be honest. It was pretty bad, man. I mean, how many times can you play the Rockets? It's, man, my goodness. But they're winning those games. They weren't winning those games at the beginning of the season. They're taking care of business. And the more the Mavericks win, the more votes Luka will get. He's doing incredible stuff. And then number three is Kevin Durant. I mean, like, I don't even have to say anything. The brother can hoop. I mean, he's hooping at a high clip too. And it's special to see, especially the wins. I mean, everyone loves wins when it comes to MVP. And the Nets are probably the hottest team in the league. Number four would be Giannis. Giannis is that dude. I mean, and you already mentioned it. I mean, Shanavaz, Giannis is still incredible what he does on any given night. And number five would be Jason Tatum. I mean, you got to give him props for what he's doing. It's incredible to see. I just think, I love sidekicks. Jaylen Brown, man. I don't think he gets enough credit. It's not that I'm not showing love to Tatum. I feel like they're not showing enough love to Brown. Like, yes, Tatum is a baller. He's a top seven player right now. But when you look at Brown, he's a top 15, 20 player in the league. I mean, he's that insane on the court, both sides of the ball, even offensively. I mean, he has a bag too. It's incredible to see. I really want to see him by himself to see what he could do to finally get some shine. But that's another.
Imagine Jaylen Brown in Charlotte with LaMelo Ball.
That's what I'm saying. He'll be having insane numbers.
Ooh, get Gordon Hayward, sorry, behind out of there.
No, wait, seriously.
What do you guys? Since we're spitballing, you know, kind of MVP candidates. I mean, one guy that I know we haven't talked about, and who's sitting in the West, and you know, by all accounts, having a great season. What does Ja Morant, you guys think, have to do to kind of work his way back up? I mean, he's not having the season I think people thought. I don't think he's having the season that people thought he would, right? I mean, I think they're, especially with Desmond Bane missing a lot of time, you know, he's more of a highlight kind of guy to me. And you know, we talked about this before the season started, that I didn't think, you know, Memphis was going to be, you know, all that. You know, I was wrong for now, but you know, you hear him talking, saying the only team he's worried about is the Celtics and nobody in the West, you know, bothers him. I mean, do you think that he can make a push as kind of the season goes on?
To me, for Ja to win MVP, for him, I think that it would require Memphis being far away the best team in the league. Because in my mind, he's flashy, he's fun, and he's one heck of a scorer. I just don't know if he's a championship player. I think he's great for that middle market that is Memphis, that Marc Gasol was great for, where they can kind of go about their business. I mean, it'd be nice if Ja Morant wasn't celebrating every win like it was the NBA Finals, but it's like he's perfect for a Memphis market. If he's in a LA or a New York, I think we would get a different perception of who Ja was, because in Memphis, you can kind of hide his stinker games. We only ever hear about the Ja Morant games where he goes off for 40 and not the games where it's like 20 in 5 and nothing really happens. Versus like if he was in a bigger market, if he had the pressure, heck, that even Luka had, like that Luka's under, where you have to be everything, because Memphis is a sneaky deep team, I think that it would be a different story. And so I'm just not sold on Ja. I think he's an overrated defender, and he's just crazy athletic. And I wonder how his game will age once that athleticism is gone.
I just find it interesting because I was looking at, you know, when we were talking MVP stuff, I just randomly took a look at the odds, you know, on what the MVP race looks like right now, as of, I think this is as of this morning. Our top five is there just in some way, shape, way, or form, whatever, right? It's Luka, Tatum, Jokic, Giannis, and Durant. But then it's Embiid and Ja Morant right there. And guys like Donovan Mitchell, Steph Curry, Zion, Shea, you know, Dame, they're all below Ja Morant. So I found it interesting just looking at that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. I just think he's in that next tier. I think he's great. I think he's great at what he does. He definitely needs to fix his 3-point shooting, because that's going to hurt him in a few years when he doesn't have as much of a bounce as he does now, and in the will to get to the lane. He definitely has to improve that, but just also his team is good. I mean, we saw it last year, how many games he missed, and that team is really stacked. They might not have stars, they might not have great players, but they have a plethora of good players. And that's what I think hides his weaknesses. You know, you don't see him as often because the other teammates are lifting him up and they're also pushing his strengths. But I think he's in that next tier, but I don't think he'll ever be a top candidate until he's like willing his team on every single night, and also just fixing his 3-point percentage too. I think that will help him in a great fashion, because he's shooting at 31% from three, and that's not really going to get it done.
Landon, you also got to talk about, like, you touched on his team being really good without him. Ja Morant's missed a lot of time, and it's like he always has something, whether it's ankle soreness or knee soreness, and that's what happens with these dudes that are crazy athletic. Like, you see, like, Zion's out now a few weeks with a hamstring issue. When you're crazy athletic, like, you're more prone to those soft tissue injuries just because your body has so much burn. And so, like, John, for MVP, I do think you have to put up a relatively healthy season. It's why, like, guys like Jokic keep making their case. Jokic barely leaves the ground, so he's never going to get hurt. Ja's like floating in the rafters, and he has to land somewhere. And he always seems to be having something. And it's funny because I covered Ja Morant when I was in college working for my college newspaper. The Belmont played in the OVC with Murray State at the time. So went to a lot of Ja Morant games. And it was the same thing in college. It's just that, like, he was always a game-time decision with some type of soreness here, ankle twist there, and that it's hard to build an MVP case where you play five games then miss four, play three then miss five, and that's kind of what I get with Ja a lot of the time. It's like every time I see, oh, Ja Morant's gonna sit out this one to rest, you're in your early 20s, what are you resting for, you know?
I do give him credit on his passing. I think his passing is very underrated in his whole game within itself. But yeah, I agree. I mean, you have to be healthy, but you also have to be I think hopefully he changes his game, not change his whole game, but hopefully he makes wiser decisions. Cause when you look at him play, obviously Derrick Rose was way different. I mean, he was pretty iconic at a young age, but just the way Ja Morant, if he keeps playing at the same level he's playing in a few years, it's going to be worrisome. And I think he needs to, you know, try to develop his shot a little more as he ages. And I think that will definitely help him out individually and team-wise as well. Before we get to the next topic, just want to make sure y'all check out Chop Shop Victory Park. It's right outside the AAC. Has great customer service, good drinks, and great food as well. Make sure y'all check out Chop Shop Victory Park. So let's get to the next topic. Let's get to what everybody's talking about right now on Twitter, in person, all over the news regarding Mavericks. It's Christian Wood. The extension, he is available for a 4-year $77 million extension. And Christian Wood has been dominating. I mean, I even tweeted it. I have not seen Christian Wood be this passionate about defense in his entire career. The past 3 weeks, ever since Maxey went down, he has been dominating on protecting the rim, scoring, and rebounding. Obviously, his defense still has leaps and bounds to get better, but he's making an effort, and he can at least do those two things, which has a lot to do with defense, protecting the rim and rebounding. So, Sean Navaz, I'll start with you. Just with what you've seen, we know what he can do on offense, and what you've seen on the defensive end the past few weeks. What do you think the extension should be? And just what do you think? What's your thoughts on the situation at whole?
I think we've seen an incredible improvement from Christian Wood. You know, you look at not just Landon, you touched on the defensive end, but the chemistry that he's built with Luka on the offensive end in these games that he's started. You know, he's been magnificent. And, you know, he said it, you know, what was it? We're ice cream and fudge, or, you know, whatever the quote was about him and Luka playing together. I mean, but, you know, Christian Wood's biggest knock coming into the season wasn't his offensive game, right? We've seen him have good offensive games. We've seen him even this season play well offensively. It was a struggle on the defensive end. And that's why, you know, Jason Kidd, for all he preaches, you know, wouldn't put him into the starting lineup. And I think very much like last season with Tim Hardaway Jr.'s injury that kind of propelled Jalen Brunson into the starting lineup. We saw that this year with Christian Wood and Maxey's injury, right? With Maxey going down, you kind of had to shuffle things a little bit. And so Wood being inserted into the starting lineup, maybe not what Coach Kidd wanted, but kind of out of necessity. And Wood has completely, I think, shocked everybody from the standpoint of his willingness and his growth on that end. You know, I saw a stat earlier that you know, obviously we've seen the blocks. He's averaging about 3 blocks a game in the 8 games that he started, but he ranks 3rd among 28 players who have 50 field goals attempted against them within 6 feet of the rim. He's only allowing 48% of shots to fall within 6 feet of the rim, which is incredible. I mean, he's not going to be a defensive anchor. He's not a Joel Embiid. He's not, you know, anybody like that, a Giannis, but his improvement, I think, is a testament to his hard work and obviously Jason Kidd and the adjustments that the Mavericks have made. As far as an extension goes, I think he definitely should get one. You know, from the dollars and the years perspective, I mean, that's for a lot smarter people to figure out. But I wouldn't be opposed to, you know, somewhat similar of an extension that perhaps Dorian got, right? I mean, I think Christian Wood maybe is worth more than that at this point, but you know, if you can settle in for something like 4 for $60 or even 3 for $70, you know, something along those lines that, you know, you're not breaking the bank for a guy like Christian Wood. And, you know, it allows you, of course, you know, the word that Mavericks fans hate, but it allows you some flexibility down the road as well. But I think you've seen enough from him, you know, in these last few weeks that he definitely deserves, especially with the chemistry he's built, especially with his willingness to engage on the defensive end. I think you've seen that improvement from him, and I think he's definitely deserving of an extension with the Mavericks. And also for the fact that they should learn their lesson from the Jalen Brunson mistake last year and definitely not let him leave for nothing.
Ian, what's your thoughts? What's your thoughts on the situation, and then what do you think the extension should be?
I mean, Christian Wood, he's turned a corner. He's talking to us, right? That dude never used to come to press conferences. Now he just loves coming to him, I guess. Maybe his agent has something to do with that. But he's saying all the right things and kind of doing all the right things. And And that's what happens when a guy wants to get paid. And to see what he's been doing on the defensive end, just to echo both of y'all's points, it's a, you know, Wood will never be a defensive anchor. And truth be told, I think the Mavericks kind of overrate Maxey, quote unquote, being a defensive anchor. It's just that he was the only guy that they had that was willing to be that. So, like, let's not act like the Maxey bar is some high standard. It's really not. It's just an above average big man defender. But I think he's kind of taken that and ran with it, you know, and he's willing to try harder on that end out of necessity. I don't think he wants to go back to the bench if something is to happen with, you know, the Mavs picking up someone else or, you know, whatever happens at the trade deadline. But it's been a joy to see, because I do enjoy seeing good defense and at least rim protection. Like, blocks are fun, and that's been good to see. Now, as for the extension, do the Mavs extend Wood? I think that'd be the smart business decision. I mean, you either extend him or you trade him. Those are your two options. And my opinion is that the Mavs should trade Wood instead of extending him. Because though Wood is a really nice player to have, for where the Mavs are in the contention timeline, I think you'd be better off getting two or three pieces back for a Wood on an expiring deal than you would signing a 19, 20 point per game score that isn't necessarily going to be the big man that wins you a championship. And so I think Wood can be the final piece of the puzzle somewhere else for someone. But I don't think he's a foundational piece for Dallas. And that's just kind of Dallas's timeline, and Wood's doesn't add up. And so, yeah, if you get him on a good value deal, then okay, re-sign him. But Wood wants to get paid, man. That's kind of been his MO since he got here. I don't blame him. And so I think your best bet is to trade him, because he's just, in my opinion, he's just as good of a player as he is. He's just not going to be the guy to win you game 7 in the Western Conference Finals if he's your second.
What the hell are you talking about, man? Pay the man. What do you mean? You're not paying him to be Giannis? I mean, you're paying him to be a good player that works with Luka. And I mean, and how many good players have you had that works with Luka? I mean, hello? Hello?
I'm talking about trying to build a dynasty here, man. Like,
how many years have the Mavericks...
But this is also what I'm saying. It's that Wood, yeah, he looks good with Luka because he's doing everything that KP didn't want to do, right? Like, okay, Wood looks great with Luke.
That's perfect.
But I'm thinking long term here. Big brain, all right? Where if you protract what this situation is, what does the actual contending Mavs roster look like? Because this version of the Mavs is a fun Mavs team. They're going to be in a lot of close games. But are they going to win games in the playoffs? And so that's.
But I'd rather be in. Mind. I'd rather be in close games with a guy like Luka than trade away Christian Wood and not be in games at all, and be working with pieces that I hope fit, or you know, pray that I can, you know, make a deal later or sign free agents or whatever. I'd rather put, if I know there's a guy that fits, I'd rather keep him around.
But this is what I'm saying: is that at what price? Because the prices you were mentioning, Sean Navaz, were in an ideal world. I don't think Wood is going to settle for 3 for 70 or whatever it was.
He won't. I mean, he wants the full, right? He wants his 4 for 77, right? I mean,
So what's wrong with that? I mean, what is wrong with 18 mil? You're paying Davis Bertans 16 mil. You're paying Tim Hardaway 18 mil. I mean, you're paying Spencer because 18
the
million.
The reason you're paying Tim Hardaway Jr. 18 million is because the Mavs bought into. Well, I mean, we have to pay him. He fit well that 1 year.
That's Christian Wood.
You have to avoid that situation, though. And I think
it's not a situation, though.
You kind of forget that in that season, in the second half of that season, Tim Hardaway Jr., when he was playing for his extension, was a 20-point-per-game scorer.
Because he could shoot. And that's, guess what? That's his only strength. Christian Wood can do more than just shoot. He's a scorer. We haven't had a scorer in Dallas that scores from the big position like that. I mean, honestly,
it's Dirk to improve. We've seen a willingness from him to improve on the defensive end. He's gotten better every week.
I'm not denying that Wood is a good player, but what I am denying is this belief that. But this is the problem. It's because Dallas never gets any good players. They believe that
that's okay, the problem because
we have an above average big that we just need to lock up long term. And I'm saying pump the brakes on that.
That's the problem. They've been pumping the brakes for 10 years. They've been doing planned powder to chase air. There's no superstars going to just come here for but they have no cap space.
You can play, but you find yourself in a situation where you have to wait till 2025 to fix your cap sheet because you forked over $20 million to the guy that averaged 20 points per game.
So you're just gonna give up 2 years of Luka's career to wait 3 years to wait till 2025?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying you gotta at least send some flyers out there. Because if you lock up to Wood long term, I'm not convinced that Luka and Wood and Dorian and if you get Maxey back is going to be a team that will compete with the likes of the big dogs.
Why are you talking about other players though? We're talking about Christian Wood.
Because I'm thinking big picture here.
He is a player that they need here.
Big picture here.
But big picture. Who are you like? And I'm not asking you to name names right off the top of your head, obviously, Ian. But you know, I'm just thinking like Landon said, we've been through this for 10 years, right? Where it's we get a player, they fit alongside, or they're perfect for this team, and what do? We let them walk in free agency, right? Or you know, we don't re-sign them. We didn't re-sign Jalen Brunson. We let him walk. We didn't trade him.
Tyson Chandler.
Why make the same mistake again? Why not re-sign Christian Wood? You can move him later. $18 million is a movable contract. That's not – there's no – those contracts get moved all the time, right? That's an easily movable contract. That's basically what the Mavericks did with KP, right? It split it up into Dinwiddie and Bertans. So you're doing the same thing with Christian Wood. You're bringing it back. If it doesn't work, you move him then. If he's the same player as he is now, what I'm hearing from you is the worry is that once he gets his money, he's not going to be this player. That he is going to revert back to potentially Houston, you know, Christian Wood or Detroit Christian Wood, and just won't be that same player. But I think this team, I think this culture, for all of its flaws, I think brings out that reinvigoration for players. Right? We've seen it happen with other players that have joined this team too. So I don't see why giving him a contract is a problem. Why would you let him walk for nothing? What if there's no good trade for him? What are you going to do? Trade him for two, you know, routine bench pieces? That's what you traded away to get him in the first place last year. You're basically wiping the slate clean and going back to what you were last year without Jalen Brunson.
And guess what? They have no cap space. So you might as well get the for sure thing instead of waiting until 3 years from now. And guess what? They're going to have to pay someone. I mean, they can't just have one guy make $50 million and 14 one-year contracts. I mean, they're always going to have something on the books. You might as well have a guy who's healthy. He's a three-level scorer. He's a rebounder. He's a rim protector. He has chemistry with Luka. I mean, we haven't seen this much chemistry with Luka ever, to be honest. And the only player that had the great chemistry was the guy that played the same position as him. So it wasn't really a good fit. And he's young. He just turned 27 a few months ago. Luka's about to be 24. So what's 3 years, 3.5 years older? It does fit the timeline. Everyone doesn't have to be 23. I mean, that's a young, good player who's you can use the next 3-4 years of his prime. He doesn't have to be the second best player, but he can be the third best player. He could be the fourth best player on a championship team. Why not keep him and try to build around those two?
And if you're looking at 2025, if Wood and Luka are the only ones on your cap sheet at that point, you'll have no problem signing other players. And if you need to move off of Wood's $18 million, that shouldn't be a problem either, because the Mavericks will have their full plethora of draft picks at that point. There won't be any issue of getting off a contract, especially with the cap rising and the new TV deals hitting in the next year or two. $18 million is going to be nothing for these salaries at that point. So the Mavericks shouldn't be worried about, oh, can I move this deal later, or what if it doesn't work out? You pay the players that fit around your superstar. Your job is to make Luka Doncic happy at this point.
You know, and maybe it's because I lived in Cleveland that I have a different perspective on this, because I saw the Cavs do the same thing. You know, Mo Williams looked really great next to LeBron. Antoine Jameson looked really great next to LeBron. And what did they do? You know, they brought him in, forked over the cash, because they were two good players, but not championship winning players. And that history again, because I'm a historian and I like to contextualize things. And so when you have that in the background, I'm saying, with a talent like Luka, the Mavs are falling into the trap of Luka making guys look better than they are. And then you create these teams that are so reliant on Luka getting 40 plus, because even though Wood's been balling, Luka still had to drop 60 and 50 and 40 to win these games. And that I'm just saying, don't settle. Don't settle for the first big that averages 20 points next to Luka, because he's the only big that's done it, when there's still other steps you can take. So logistically, does an extension make sense for the right number? Yeah, it does. But long term, are you tying yourself into a roster full of average players and then one Bugatti? It's like a garage full of Honda Civics and then you have your one Bugatti, you know? And at that point, is that going to be enough? When you see that, like, take the Pelicans, for instance. Like, when Zion's healthy and Brandon Ingram's healthy, they have two guys that are legit guys, right? And in that same token, like, what are you locking yourself into here? And that's all I'm saying, because I saw how it played out LeBron's first stint in Cleveland. You surround him with guys that fit next to him that look good because of him. But how much winning are they going to do in the playoffs? And maybe it's that simple, that how much impact is Christian Wood going to have in the playoffs? Because when it was next to LeBron, Mo Williams, and Antoine Jameson, it was still LeBron having to go out there and get 50.
And Antoine Jameson was like 34 when they brought him in, right?
What's up?
Wasn't Antoine Jameson like 34 when they brought him in?
But no, but this is – it's the principle of what I'm talking about. It's that type of guy that LeBron made look good. Mo Williams was in the prime of his career, 20 point per game.
Wood was good before he got here. What do you mean?
Jameson was a 2-time All-Star before he got there. It wasn't LeBron James that made Antoine Jameson good.
No, but they made that move because it was Antoine Jameson was a guy that is a good player, but he wasn't going to win you a championship.
Not at 33.
But this is what I'm saying. It's like, when you have a generational talent, teams can get suckered in to bringing in good guys when you need to have great guys to win.
I understand. The problem is that the Mavericks have been in this position for so long and have let players walk, like Landon said, Tyson Chandler, right? Jalen Brown. We saw it last year, right? How much longer are we supposed to sit there and say, okay, plan powder, or, well, we couldn't make the right trade, so let's just – you know, we'll let them walk and, you know, fingers crossed, you know, we'll hopefully make the same trade next year, or let's keep our fingers crossed for 2025 and hope we can sign somebody. I mean, this isn't Dirk where he's going to be loyal forever, right? You've got to prove that you can keep a good team around him. right? You've got to prove that you will do whatever it takes to make sure that the Mavericks have a chance at winning a title every single year.
So go big game hunting.
It takes two. It takes two to make a trade. This isn't 2K where you just turn on four straights and you're like, great.
Go big game hunting.
You can't wait till 2024, 2025. You got the sure thing right in your arena. I mean, you're not asking him to be Anthony Davis. You're asking him to be what he's doing the past three weeks. Just play, score the ball and play great with Luka and protect the rim. I mean, he's doing more than that. He's rebounding the ball, and he likes being the Robin. I mean, from what he said, obviously he's in a contract year. He's going to say this, but KP didn't like being the Robin. I mean, Jalen Brunson definitely did not like being the Robin. He's out of here. I mean, if you're going to offer him, if he's open to accepting, offer him what it takes to keep talent here. I've said this many times. I don't care who it is. Just bring talent around Luka, and especially if Luka likes him.
Make it work.
You got to make it work.
And Landon, to what you said, Christian Wood likes being the Robin. Christian Wood didn't go to Houston to be the Robin. Christian Wood went there to be Robin to James Harden. And Houston turned around and traded James Harden 2 weeks later. So Christian Wood's never been that kind of alpha, like, man, I got to be the guy. Like, I want to be the guy. You know, he wanted to be the Robin to James Harden. He's a great Robin for Luka Doncic. The Mavericks have to do what they can to keep him. I will caveat this. I agree with Ian in the sense that if the Mavericks choose not to re-sign him, then your only option is to trade him. You cannot let him walk for free. But I will say that my preference, and I think the Mavericks should ultimately should sign Christian Wood.
Even if they try to trade him, you're not going to get much. I mean,
no, you're not going to get what you want, right?
A contender is not going to give you their young pieces. And a tanking team is not going to trade for an expiring contract.
I mean, are you going to go get Gordon Hayward? Like, what is he going to do to move the needle for Dallas, right? Like, that doesn't...
And you have to look at the cap space around the league. No one has... I mean, the only teams that really have, like, 20-plus cap space is, like, tanking teams that Christian Wood already played for. I mean, the Pistons, the Rockets, I mean, all these tanking teams that have cap space are not going to sign Christian Wood. So, I mean, why not pay him and then figure it out later? You're trying to win with Luka. You're not trying to win down the road. And I understand your point, Ian, about trading and eventually getting the right star to compete for a championship. But Luka is a top three player in the league. I mean, why not take your odds with having good players around him until you have the opportunity, a for sure thing, to get an elite player next to him? That's the problem. They're playing dice when it's not that hard. You just bring talent in and sign them until you have an opportunity to make moves. And they don't have that opportunity as of yet. And that's what's getting them in trouble. If they let talent go, then you are going to get in trouble with Luka down the road and say, dang, we should have kept Christian Wood. Dang, we should have tried harder. They're already saying with Brunson. I mean, KP is scoring. He's getting player of the week.
Player of the week. That's insane. Scoring.
I mean, a lot of people, even myself, I was like, dang, KP would have looked nice if they waited it out and worked things out, him and Luka. I mean, they said they didn't talk to each other. Christian Wood is saying they talk all the time. How to read defenses. If they drop, if they pick and roll. I mean, if they switch, if they show. I mean, KP wasn't saying that.
That KP stuff, and this is an aside, I just think it was a young Luka that didn't know how to be a leader. And I think Luka's learned from that. And that's why him and Christian Wood are talking more.
And KP's been relatively healthy in Washington, right? I mean, I think, you know, I think that's another piece to it too, is perhaps he's finally kind of getting to that point where he's recovered. I know we've got another topic to get to, but just something I was thinking about as we were kind of talking about this and the relationship between Wood and Luka. It's so funny that everybody, you know, kind of coming into the season and even last season was was saying, man, it's really hard to play with a guy like Luka. And, it, you know, especially after everything that happened with Porzingis, it's just like, well, is he a great teammate? Is he not? The two guys that the Mavericks just acquired in the last year, Dinwiddie and Wood, seem to be, you know, by all accounts, great friends with Luka and seem to have a great relationship with him. So, you know, I think that bodes well going forward for the Mavericks in terms of, you know, is he somebody that, that people want to play with? Is he, you know, does he have that ability to, you know, obviously we know he can make people better, but, you know, his passion for the game and the way that the, you know, that perhaps he talks to other teammates. I mean, you've seen it with guys like Dinwiddie and Wood in the last year that, that have really kind of, you know, accepted that role and really have kind of changed that narrative from a,
Sean
from a perspective.
Oz, you brought up a good point there because I just want to harp on that. I want to elaborate more on that because when KP was here, he let's be honest, he said a lot of we, and he was answering questions about what he's doing for the team and or Luka and I, what we and Jalen Brunson, he did the same thing. I mean, we are hearing Spencer Dinwiddie and Christian Wood say, this is Luka's team. We're here to help him. I never heard Jalen or Kristaps saying, hey, this is Luka's team. We're helping him. They just say how great he is. But they're specifically saying, we're here to help him win. This is his team. We let him do his thing. And then when things get close, then we start scoring. That's something that you need around here because even Luka said he's hard on his teammates and Christian Wood, he just wants to win. I mean, when you hear those players say that and the talent that's been here before never say that, doesn't that change your mind on things?
I mean, change my mind in what way?
I'm keeping them.
Well, it's just that Spencer Dinwiddie and Christian Wood kind of know their role players.
Exactly. Keep them. That's what I'm saying.
That's what you need. That's exactly what you need. How can the Mavericks find role players to fit around Luka?
No, but what I'm saying is that the reason KP never said that was because KP was a star in New York. And once you're labeled a star in your mind, that's always there, man. And heck, Jalen Brunson was trying to get paid. And so I just think it doesn't necessarily move the needle just because a guy knows his role. That doesn't mean, yeah, you know your role. That doesn't mean you're winning a championship with them. I'm thinking championship. What like you were three wins away from the NBA Finals. What did you do to get better?
See, and, you're thinking last season. I'm thinking a couple of weeks ago that they're in 10th place in the Western Conference. I'm saying bring some talent, help them out. I mean, we can't talk about championships because they made the Western Conference Finals. That's a different team. Let's talk about this team right now. How can they make the best run with the roster construction and salary cap limitations that they have?
Can we also give credit to – oh, sorry, go ahead, Landon.
Well, I'm just saying it's easy to say this team is not a championship team because they don't have a number two championship contender type piece. But you gotta create some rocket science to get that number two because they have no money and they have no first-round picks that they can just flat-out trade like it's easy. And they have no young talent. The only young talent they have is Luka and Josh Green. Josh Green's not going to get you a superstar. And the rotation players are above 30. That's a bad scenario. That's why they have to be blessed with what they got in a crazy trade. And it worked. So give him the money.
And the teams that got... or that had second superstars in the last, decade, and not counting, you know, Miami's big three. But Chris Middleton was a second-round pick that was a throw-in in a trade to Milwaukee, if I'm not mistaken, and then they traded three first-round picks for Jrue Holiday. Right? Golden State was just constructed in a way where now they're paying $500 million in luxury tax, but even prior to that, they opened up room by trading a first-round pick in Harrison Barnes, a sign and trade to get Kevin Durant. So these teams all had avenues to do it. The Mavericks don't. the Mavericks shot themselves in the foot over the last few years with the KP deal, with the two first round picks and the max deal. And we all know that. And we've talked about it a lot, but the Mavericks have to do what they can to keep a functional roster around Luka as, you know, these contracts of all these 30-year-olds, like Landon said, kind of wind down, and you start, once those guys are expiring, maybe you trade them to contenders, right? And as you get closer, you know, fine. As they start wearing down, you start getting them off the books. But a guy like Christian Wood, who's still young, 27, and clearly fits with your best player, you got to do what you can to keep him around.
And look at the last two trades for star players, or we can go the past few years. I mean, look at Rudy Gobert. Look what was traded for him. Look at Donovan Mitchell. Look what was traded for him. Young players, a lot of picks. Mavs don't have either of those. So it's going to be hard. Paul George to LA. I mean, those type. They traded Shea. I mean, you don't have young players and you don't have picks to get those stars. So you got to do the best with what you have.
And the Clippers still had ammunition to go out and get Norman Powell, right? And like re-sign Zubac. And, you know, all these teams have had various avenues of improving their team. It feels like the Mavericks don't. And to that point, you like Landon and I have been saying, Ian, you got to do what you can, right? Keep your good players around. And you know, if you got to move them at a later date, do it. But we saw it happen with Jalen Brunson, and Mavericks can't make the same mistake again.
I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree.
Hey, I love it. This is what I've been waiting for. I mean, last week
we were not holding as hostile hands. As we wanted, but you know.
No, this is great. It's just debate, which is what we all love. And then let's get to a little something more in the holiday spirit of New Year's. So the last topic of this episode is Mav's New Year's resolution. And I'm going to ask each of the guests, what do they want to see the Mavs improve, or what do they want to see happen for the Mavs in the remaining second half of the season in 2023? So Ian, I'll start with you. What's your Mavs New Year's resolution for this team in 2023?
It's going to be to play better defense. I wrote a while back kind of talking about the interesting way in which last year's team turned it around with defense, but this year's team has kind of been a middling, sputtering, average defensive team that's trying to be good. And yet they're picking up wins, albeit against average to below average opponents. But I do believe that if the Mavs are going to actually be that type of team that turns it on in January and wins 15 of 20, they're going to have a top five defense. And I just don't think they have the horses for that this year. And so I'll be watching that end of the floor to see if they can morph into that team with guys like Christian Wood leading the charge. Because to me, that's the only way that they're going to win games. They're not a fast-breaking team. They're not running up and down the court. If Luka's not cooking, they're not going to outscore you. And so it'll be them controlling possessions, playing sound defense, not turning the ball over. And that all starts with slowing the other team down. So that's what I'll be watching for.
Yeah, you make a great point, Ian, with defense. It's crazy how this team just is the exact opposite of last season. They were a top five in defense, and what their offense until the last couple months were just mediocre. And now, even with Luka Doncic, and now it's like a top five offense. And like you said, I think they're like at 20-19, somewhere around there in defense. So, Sean Navaz, what is your Mavs New Year's resolution for this team?
Yeah, I think, I think the Mavs need to be advantageous. I think they need to take advantage of the schedule that they've been given. I mean, we saw they had a brutal pretty brutal stretch, you know, before this winning streak of having to, you know, a couple back, you know, a couple of games, you know, the Nuggets, the Celtics, the Bucks, the Warriors, the Nuggets again. I mean, you know, pretty rough closeout, you know, as we got into December from November. But the Mavericks, you know, now going into 2023, have got, you know, obviously some tough games against Western Conference opponents, but, you know, sandwiched in is a lot of bottom feeders in both conferences. So the Mavericks need to take advantage and really be able to put away these, you know, these teams that they should be beating early, you know, and not giving up the big leads that they have been to teams like Houston and San Antonio, and really put them away. Let your guys rest. Let Luka Doncic rest. Get them ready for the playoffs and you know, just take advantage of what the schedule makers have given you and take advantage of, you know, all the other Western Conference teams that are unfortunately suffering injuries or having, you know, potentially roster turnover. You know, the Mavericks have worked their way back up to fourth in the West, and the only way that they're going to keep it there is if they take care of business down the stretch.
Yeah, that's true too. I mean, with the schedule that they got recently, we have to give them credit. They won those games. At the beginning of the season, they were losing those games. So to see them come back on some of those games, it was crazy to watch, especially the Knicks and the Rockets. Those comebacks were crazy. My New Year's resolution is for this team is to pay... I'm just kidding. All right. my New Year's resolution, honestly, with this team is for... This is tough. Because I want this team... And I'm going to say this, and it might sound crazy. I think this team should start looking at the rotation differently and have Spencer run the second unit. Especially the way that Tim Hardaway Jr. is shooting the ball. I think you're good there with offense. Now that Christian Wood and Tim Hardaway is shooting really good. So once you have Josh Green and Dorian Finney-Smith come back, I think that's how you can answer Ian's defensive question. I think you can balance the roster. And I love what McKinley Wright is doing. The brother is bringing that energy, that Pat Bev energy on defense, full court, and just some of the things he's doing. But that should not be your third ball handler. That should not be your first guard off the bench. And I feel like, if you have a lineup that's balanced surrounding Christian Wood and Luka, this duo that you just seen the start of something that could be special offensively, I think if you surround Luka and Christian Wood's offense, what you've seen the past few weeks, with Josh Green and Dorian Finney-Smith's defense and the reliability that they have in their shot, and then you add that with TSJ, I mean, he's the wild card. Some nights he's going to have 25, some nights he's going to have 12. But I think that makes your offense and your defense really good, because you also have Spencer Dinwiddie coming in, dropping 16, and he can get back to what he was doing last season. As the top six man, one of the top six man, in the NBA. And then you still got Bullock, off the bench. You still got, you know, Frank, you still got McKinley, you still got, Powell. You can start making your roster more balanced. I don't like last season. It was all defense. This season's all offense. You got to find the middle ground. And I think you can do that. So my resolution is hopefully a kid finds the middle ground where he can bring Dinwiddie off the bench, or he can, because you can't have THJ off the bench, because he needs Luka's playmaking, and he's playing great with that. That's what do y'all think about that? Is that just crazy? I mean, obviously at the beginning of the season, the talk about it, but like, y'all think that's crazy to go back to that conversation, or is he a for sure starter? Ian?
I don't think it's crazy. I think it's one of those things that should be explored. Just in the name of balance, I mean, you think about every great team has multiple ways to beat you, and the Mavs kind of have one way of beating opponents. And so I think it should be explored personally to me.
Sean Navaz?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think we talked about it last week or the week before that, you know, ever since Hardaway Jr. was inserted back into the starting lineup, we've seen him catch his rhythm, and he's one of those guys that has got to get hot early, right? And he's got to, you know, he's not, you know, particularly great off the dribble, but, you know, catch and shoot opportunities. I mean, you know, if he catches fire, it's, you know, it's over for the other team, you know, and he's done a great job even in closing out games, you know, against the Rockets. He had that, I think it was the pump fake and the drive to get the foul at the end of the game. That was a huge, you know, play down the stretch as well. So, you know, I think he adds that veteran presence. Luka trusts him. Jason Kidd trusts him. And you need a guy like that to get hot, especially, you know, like Ian said, when your goal right now is basically outscoring opponents, you got to get to Hardaway Jr. going as the, you know, as we kind of wind into the second half of the season. So I 100% think he should continue starting.
Yeah. And I'm just throwing things out there. And he can end the game too. I'm just thinking when I was watching that Rockets game, it was hard to watch because there's so many different offensive players when it should be simple. It should just be Luka and Christian Wood starting off the game, and then you have Tim Hardaway making his shots. But that's what I'm saying. When you have Josh Green, Dorian Finney-Smith, and Hardaway as your three-point shooters, and then you have Christian Wood and Luka playing two-man game, and then you have a 16-point score to lead the bench, it makes your team more dynamic. Yeah, because you can't keep playing McKinley Wright and Frank or even Kemba. I mean, as your third ball handler, if you're trying to make this push and be a top four team. All right. Well, that was our episode for this week. A longer episode, a lot to talk about. That Christian Wood extension, feel like that won't be the it won't be the last we talk about that. It seems like that got a little that sparked a little bit up in here. That's just a little bit. Almost grabbed some popcorn during that conversation. But last words, Sean of Oz, we got the Celtics coming up, so I'll just stay on that game. What do you want to see from the Mavericks versus that Celtics team? Because the last two times they came in Dallas, you know those Luka Magic buzzer beaters. So what do you want to see from this team against the Celtics?
I want to see them start off strong. You know, the last time that the Mavericks played the Celtics, they only lost by 13, but that game was over well before the fourth quarter started. So I want to see the Mavericks with this new, you know, they've beat up on you know, a lot of these poor teams, you know, in the Western Conference and even, you know, in the Eastern Conference the last couple of weeks. And credit to you, Landon, because you tweeted out that the Mavericks should get business done. I think it was sometime in late December, and the Mavericks won 7 in a row. All the teams that you listed, the Mavericks beat all of them. So props to you on that. So you can tweet again saying the Mavericks should beat the Celtics, and we'll see what happens. But, it's a huge test for the Mavericks. Celtics are arguably the best team in the Eastern Conference, if not the NBA. You've got two bona fide superstars on that team, a great defense, it's going to be a tough matchup. But, you know, I'm excited to see what Christian Wood does in the starting lineup. With this team, going forward, and it's the Celtics are a big matchup. So if the Mavericks can keep it close and it comes down to the fourth quarter, we'll see what happens. But they've been able to close out games here recently, and hopefully that streak continues.
Ian, final words. What are you looking forward to in the Mavs Celtics game?
I just want to see the Mavs get a statement type win. I think that's what this season is lacking, like a win over a really good team that feels like it's a statement of the direction they're heading. And that's what Thursday could be if Dallas plays its cards right. Or you never know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown could take Luka's lunch money. But it has to be a statement game. The Mavs are kind of lacking that right now.
There you have it, folks. We have two top five MVP candidates in Luka Doncic and Jason Tatum. And we'll see, will the Mavs make it eight straight in their win streak, or will the Celtics show the Mavs they still have some stuff to work on? Goodbye, everyone.